George, could you pray for us, please?
Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning to worship you and to this class to learn more about you and look into your word, find out what it has to say for us. Bless Bruno as he brings the lesson and bless us to understand and apply it in Jesus' name.
Amen. So 2 weeks ago, we were here sharing some, thank you, brother, some main characteristics regarding what the Lord was doing his church at that time. You remember, it was a troubled time for the church. The persecution just increased to the top. We believe it was in the 90 after Christ. So it was a troubled time, but we can see faithfulness and also unfaithfulness through troubled times. I believe we stopped in the page 3. We're going to cover a little bit. Within the same church, we have faithful people and people who are unfaithful. I'd like to read with you Revelation. Emily, the preacher was late this morning. You need to talk to him.
I have a word.
Yeah. Revelation 2. So let's read from verse 18 to 29. If each of you could read one verse, and then we will cover the letter. Revelation 2, verse 18.
And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze.
19. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your later works exceed the first.
But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols.
I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works, and I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart.
And continue on. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden but that which you have already held fast until I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken into shivers, even as I received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Okay, yeah. So, the church was facing a major problem at that time. They were teaching a kind of, or overemphasizing grace. You remember, it was a big issue. The Jews were just teaching. All the Christians, they needed to believe in Christ and also obey the law to be saved. This was one branch of the challenges the church was facing. What was the other one? Thank you, brother. What was the other one?
You don't need to obey the law at all.
Yeah.
Grace is sufficient.
Yeah. Pastor then shared last Sunday, what was the name of that group? The previous church. You can find here in chapter 2. The Nicolaitans, that the Ephesians refused, but other churches were under their influence, like the Pergamon church. And they said, so, salvation is by grace through faith. So, your works, they don't have any place in Christian faith anymore. And that was a huge problem, because the church was injured in their authority. They could not be light to the world anymore. So the Lord was advising the church, and here it was the same problem. Sweetie. But now the Lord specifies with one person. What's her name?
Jezebel.
It was a famous character in the Old Testament. Yes. You remember? Who was she?
The wife of
Samson.
The wife of Ahab. Exactly. Exactly. When the people of Israel didn't obey one of the Lord's command, they should not marry to non-believers, people outside of Israel. And what was the main reason they should not marry with non-believers, unconverted people?
They'd be pulled their direction into worshiping other gods.
Exactly. When some people from a different nationality went to Israel and converted to the Lord, so they were allowed to marry. We see Bathsheba was married with a man who was converted to the God of Israel. But in the different direction, Jezebel was a wicked woman, and she brought deceit, and she brought sin, idolatry, and immorality to the nation. And we can see also the third king of Israel, who was a blessing in the beginning of his ministry as a king, I could say that, but the wrong marriages, his life became a mess, and the nation just collapsed. Who man was it? The third king of Israel. Who was the first?
Saul.
The second? David. And the third? Solomon. And I tell you, just mesmerizes me when we read the book of Proverbs. It's lots of wisdom. And then you go to Ecclesiastes, and you can see a man in Christ, far away from God, saying that he cannot find any purpose in life. This is a great lesson of when you do not start well, or when you do not finish well, you can just lose sight of what God has for you. So the same problem was happening in the seven churches there. We had faithful people, but we had unfaithful people who were not corrected. Calvin says that a true church has three main characteristics. Who remember? Let's see the good Presbyterians here. The good Reformed people. That three characteristics of a healthy church. No. Preaching of the word faithfully. The second, the correct use of the sacraments. And the third, church discipline. Church discipline, correct use of the sacraments, and faithful preaching. So, when you look to the church of Thyatira. What was lacking here? Do they have faithful preaching? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, we could say yes. We don't see any problems with sacrament. But what about church discipline?
Looks like not.
Why not? What word the Lord is using here that shows us?
To the church of Tyatira, which tolerates impurity and falls into immorality.
Okay, what verse? Verse 20. Could you read it again?
Read that again.
Yeah.
To the church of Tyatira, which tolerates impurity and falls into immorality, Jesus presents himself as one with eyes like a flame of fire and feet similar to polished bronze.
Yeah, but I mean the verse 20 of chapter 2. But I have these against you. It's the Bible.
Oh, I don't have it open. Sorry.
There you tolerate that woman Jezebel who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality. We hear a lot in many evangelical churches today regarding tolerance. So what's the point of balance? That we won't be legalistic, but at the same time we should have zeal as a confessional church. Because the Lord is rebuking a great church. They had deeds, they had love, they were working more than in the beginning. But now the Lord is rebuking because they are tolerating one woman. So what's the point of balance? Let's think. How we can be a welcoming church, loving anybody regardless the life they had, the life they had in their past, but at the same time keep God's truth in the right place. Well, we need to think about that. Whenever a person becomes a member of the church and is under the authority of the church session, the person needs to follow the Lord's command. We need to be gracious. We need to love. But in your view, is the Church of Christ in general using the church discipline correctly? Thinking about the Reformed Church, Reformed branch.
Probably not.
Why not?
Because you don't want to hurt people's feelings.
Right.
And why we don't want to do that?
Well, years on the session, I've heard lots of arguments and different things about the way people are acting. And what they're doing, and should we be doing anything about it? And those discussions very often end up in, well, we don't want to hurt their feelings. You know, we don't want to mess things up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to, I don't know, move people away from the church by being overly harsh. Mm-hmm. All those things, you know, they spring up. You don't want to hurt people's feelings. It's very hard to do.
Well, and also know you have stuff in your own life that
you need
to clean up.
Okay, but what's the point? Because when we keep reading, for instance, chapter 2, verse 21.
21.
Yeah.
And it says that, so they had her, I guess, as part of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of implies they were working with her. God gave her time to repent, but she refused to repent. Well, at that point, that makes it a little bit more clear that, you know, okay, we we gave you time to realize what the word really is, and you know, and you decided not to go that way, so you don't belong here.
Okay, so all of us, we struggle, we've seen in different areas of our walking with Christ, but we are not living in sin. That's the difference. We struggle, we are fighting every single day, but whenever a member of a church decides to disobey the Lord clearly in a biblical principle, if we love that person as the body of Christ, we should go. We should go and invite that person to repentance and walk with her or walk with him. And go ahead.
I guess what I'm reading in the text, though, is more than just a member, but this is leadership.
Exactly.
Like, I think it's hard. Like, we're going to have people come through the doors and we don't know what they're going to bring with them and what they're going to have been experiencing. But I think it's important that we also see a difference between how we correct members and how we correct leaders.
Do you think we have a different biblical way of doing that? One way for treat the discipline of a member and the other for a leader?
Because in verse 14 with the other church of Pergamum.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I have these things against you. There are people here who hold to the teaching of, and it talks about Balaam and then the teaching of Nicolaitans. So it's like the people who are following certain teachings, or they're teaching it themselves. And then in Jezebel's sense, I have this against you. You tolerate her teaching.
Right. And there is a different standard. You know, it talks about for elders, the standard is higher.
Exactly.
So she's not just like some immoral woman who's just...
James says, you know, in chapter 3 that if anyone wants to become a teacher, we should be aware that we're going to receive a higher judgment from the Lord. The standard is different. But the thing is, the way we should address problems... Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, if you could open. Luke 18, verse 9. Luke 18. No, this is not the Bible passage. It's Matthew 18, sorry about that. Mm-hmm. Matthew 18, verse 15.
I'm a teacher.
Could you read, Dr. Foster? Matthew 18, verse 15.
If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter will be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector.
It is a hard statement the Lord is making here. It is not an easy thing. But the Lord is showing the way, the biblical way to treat somebody who sinned against us. But regarding Jezebel, the sin was against one person. The sin was against the church. And the other problems were related to false teaching. False teaching will lead the church to a false morality. The church here... that embraced the LGBTQ movement. What were the consequences? In a practical way, in the life of the church.
It declined. It left.
declined, and now we have immorality in the church, homosexuality, and all the bad stuff in a normal way. So they are not under church discipline anymore. So this is why it's so serious. Whenever we just change God's morality, it will harm his church, and that church will collapse. So we cannot negotiate the truth. We should be merciful, we should be gracious, but at the same way, we should see sin as it is, sin. And the Lord is just making clear, because this church was, and I'm going to share, this church was in a spiritual growth and progress. They were working hard, they had love, they had everything. But they didn't have, at that point, church discipline. And the Lord said, I gave her time to repent. And not just her, but the people who were with her. And we can see this in the other churches, like Ephesus. There was fidelity in doctrine, but lack of love. So the Lord is addressing different things. I'd like to cover now the point 4. The church is not always what it appears to be when examined by Jesus. Could somebody read? Jesus knows.
Yeah, so Jesus knows the church deeply. Mm-hmm. He knows the works of the church, where it is, and what it faces.
Keep reading.
The church of Ephesus is orthodox, hardworking, and faithful in trials, but has lost its ability to love Jesus. It is like a wife who does not cheat on her husband, but she also does not love him.
Mm-hmm. Keep reading.
The church of Smyrna is poor in the eyes of men, but rich in the eyes of Christ. The church of Pergamum has people so committed to God to the point of martyrdom, but some people fall before the seduction of sin. The Thyatira church is working more than it did at the beginning of its career, but too much unsupervised work does not please Jesus either. Action without doctrinal zeal and doctrinal zeal without action do not please Jesus.
So I just want to call your attention for one thing. How important it is to the Lord, our good deeds. In every single letter, the Lord is addressing specifically the way the church was living. And I believe this is very important for us as Presbyterians. We share all the time about election, predestination, salvation by grace through
faith.
However, the election of God has a deeper purpose. If we could open our Bibles now in Ephesians chapter 2, I'd like to link this Bible passage to the seven letters and just see how we should understand our lives here in a missional way. Ephesians chapter 2. So let's read from verse 1 to verse 10. Everybody can read one verse, please.
I can start. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the forces of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind.
But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved.
And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus.
Verse 8.
By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
So I'd like to call your attention for two specific Bible verse 7 and verse 10. You see, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The seven churches in Revelation, they were serving, but in some way they were not fulfilling the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? You remember?
Go into all the world, preach the gospel, and baptize them.
Yeah, there is a specific important point of the Great Commission. Go toward the world and what?
Make
disciples. What's the meaning of matetes? Disciples.
Followers.
Okay? So... the church there had good work, were serving, but the discipleship was injured. Why? Do the bad testimony. Do the corrupted moral life.
Because people weren't following the right teachings.
Exactly. They were still strong churches, working hard, but... they were not displaying what we see in the verse 7, Dr. Foster, when he says, so that in the coming ages, you see the meaning of discipleship, we're building the new disciples. We have Grandma John here, 93.
Please.
Sorry, I'm just thinking the future.
Or 39, go ahead.
Yes. Helping to build the new disciples. She was supposed to share her testimony this morning.
I thought it was for the next service.
Sorry about that.
So obviously.
Yeah, next Sunday. What's the point? Build the new generation of disciples and be encouraged. And this is the main point. And when we see verse 10, here Paul, he just links election to a discipleship or discipling life. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. Election is not just for eternal life. What is the eternal life accordingly with Jesus in the Gospel of John? What is eternal life? When we say that we have eternal life here, now, what does that mean?
We are with God.
We have fellowship.
Fellowship
with God and Christ Jesus. This is eternal life. Okay? So, we are not saved for the eternity or for heaven. We are saved for good works. We are saved for an intentional life. In saying that, let's try to apply in the last few minutes we have. In what can we be more intentional as Huntington Valley Presbyterian Church, a historical church, multicultural church, with all the challenges we have culturally, political, now? How can we be more intentional and do not make the same mistakes the churches were making in the first century? Any guesses? How could we be more intentional regarding the Great Commission and do not receive the same rebukes the church of Thyatira and Ephesus and other churches received. Think with me.
I have a question. I don't know if we have it here, but like in my mind, when people, especially leaders, when they like are confess their sins to one another, like in my mind, that's something like you need to kind of like really know the person pretty deeply to feel like comfortable with that person. I don't, like I said, I don't know if we do that here, but I guess just having people like...
Is this a command?
Confessing
yeah.
their sins to each other and praying for each other.
We find this command in James chapter 5. Yeah. We should confess our sins to one another.
I mean, it's hard because, you know, I can sin and nobody knows it. It's only when I confess it and ask for prayer that, and that's like a really humbling thing. So I think teaching us to be more humble towards our sins and opening up to other people would be helpful.
Okay, we are not Catholic, so people do not come to the confessionary place. So what's the biblical way of doing that? We are just
the word accountability.
Accountability. Mm-hmm. How?
So
we can be accountable.
People to see like they're really you're not like fake, like a fake person. Like,
okay.
Your life isn't perfect. None of our lives are perfect. We all have sin, and we all sin in very real ways. So yeah.
I was going back to what you first said. You said in Calvinism, what are the three characteristics of a healthy church?
Yeah.
And so you're now asking how do we maintain ourselves? How are we a healthy church? And just preaching the word faithfully, you know, correctly using the sacraments. I think they use them in very fleshly ways.
Mm-hmm.
That I can praise God. We don't do that here.
Can you give me an example of that? What do you mean?
The sacraments.
Yeah.
Do you know what are the sacraments?
The wine and bread.
Yeah, we have
communion baptism.
And baptism. Mm-hmm. We believe just in two sacraments. We are not Catholics who believe in seven sacraments. We believe just in two. They say marriage is a sacrament. They say the Mass is exactly.
Ordination.
Yeah, exactly. So now
we can give. So I think we do the two that are more of a profession of our faith and communion with God.
Mm-hmm.
But in here, it was like there were sexual things that were done,
mm-hmm.
or things that were fleshly.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But and so we all of our sacraments are just to point us towards God about Him, and then the last one is church discipline, which for us is also accountability.
Mm-hmm.
So the accountability would be among leadership, and really leadership holds leadership accountable. So that I think kind of answers that question, like how do, you know, who's doing what. I don't know if it's perfect anywhere in the world, but I think that's the model that God's given us, and that people can hold one another accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that Matthew 18.
Okay,
in the
so
lay body.
Knowing our reality as a local church in this community, what would be the best way to be accountable to each other? What could be your suggestion? What come to your mind in a real way, practical way?
When Acts 2 it says that they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine,
mm-hmm.
and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. And I think incorporating that type of culture within the church, whether that be small groups or prayer partners, that would be a really easy, you know, by neighborhood or meeting during the week. In a smaller setting.
So could I name these discipleship culture? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need to implement a discipleship culture. This is the reason good churches are dying. They're not making disciples. And why are we not accountable? I agree with you. I won't open up my life to a strange person. Stranger, okay? I need to have some level of relationship. And where are we going to find that? in a discipleship group. I don't like the term small group. Why? Because in a small group, you will have a Bible study. You will have sharing. You will have praying together or prayers. But generally, we don't have mission. And a discipleship group, you should share scripture, fellowship, prayer, accountability. But you need to be challenged. The Lord, He did this with His disciples. And here with the churches and with Thyatira, the Lord is challenging the church to fix the problem. We have several experienced leaders here. And the point is, my question is, who are the people are you discipling here in this community now? And we need to be intentional about that. All of us, we are busy, and there are many things happening that we will never dream if I do not spend time with people. They won't go, they won't come to me and say, hey, I dated last weekend. You know what happened? This is not easy to happen. But if I have a close relationship with George, he will sense that I'm not okay. Yeah? He will pray, and then I will feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. We have a trustworthy relationship. And I will say, George, please pray for me. My marriage is not good. I'm facing this, and that. And with his experience, because his children are older than mine, Pamela is 18, your children?
19 and 22.
It's almost the same, but you will see, well, 3 years ago I faced this and the Lord gave me grace to overcome in this way or that, or I made this mistake and it was not good for me, and so be careful.
Don't do this.
Don't do this. So, we are a sound doctrine church. We've been here for 165 years. Yeah? But I believe we need to learn. The Lord is walking among us, and He sees things that we don't. But if we want to build the next generation, we need to face the problems. And how? Exercising church discipline. And this is not related just to the session when a big problem happened and we say, oh, now we need to solve, we need to face this giant. We can't help it. If we are intentionally working in a discipleship environment, many problems will be avoided.
Catch them while they're small.
Exactly. Exactly. Because the church will sense and discover the problem in the beginning, so it won't grow.
That actually comes to mind in this verse 20. This is not a person with authority. She is a self-styled prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Like she is calling herself
mm-hmm.
a prophetess, and then people are giving her whatever authority she has. And she doesn't have any authority, but what the church is giving to her, and it's precisely because I would submit. Either they're too ignorant, maybe they're outsiders, you know, pagans who have been recently converted, so they don't know any better. Or if there are Jewish converts, they are forgetting, yeah, you have to actually stay in the Word, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
God commands this at Sinai. Like, you wake up with it, you walk with it, you eat with it, you sleep with it, you go to bed. You continuously stay in it so that when people do come, you're not thrown off your game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a big part of it, is people say, oh, well, the leadership, they'll take care of it. Like, they'll take care of my faith for me, or they'll take care of my own personal life. Like, others will live my spiritual life for me. But
I see.
But that's how you get into these kinds of situations where it's like, there's a heretic clearly at work, and yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Well, she was not an official leader, but she had influence upon the church. And you know, leadership is influence. some people are named as leaders, but they don't receive the respect and or influencement. Other people, they don't have any title, but they are great leaders. And leadership can be used for good and for bad. And that was the case of that church. So we need to be aware, because when we are working together, sharing our lives in a discipleship environment, the church will be much more sensitive to the problems. Not just to give a display a good testimony, but mainly to help people to live like disciples of Christ and make new disciples. This is our main goal while we are here, to live a life in this way. Any questions or thoughts before we go? I don't want to run late the second time today. One is enough. Sorry about that. No? So let's pray. Why we do not pray? So let's pray and ask the Lord to give us grace, intentionality, and also pray now, asking to the Lord guidance regarding people you can influence in this community. I'm sure the Lord has a special thing for you, and people that can learn from our good work and also from our mistakes. So let's pray. Elder George, could you lead us in a prayer, please?
Okay. Lord, thank you for your word and for this time when we can contemplate it. Lead us and help us into a discipleship mentality to make followers of you. Help us to be better followers of you so that we can lead others by that example. And help us, each of us, to identify and actually see people around us who we can help to bring into your world and to become followers of you, or if they're already followers, to be better followers so that your kingdom will grow. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you, and have a wonderful service.
Okay. Awesome.
Sweet. 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 Sweet.